Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who is one with the Father and one with the Holy Spirit, our Savior God, dear fellow redeemed. The Trinity is a truth that is beyond the understanding of the wisest of people, and it is a doctrine that is simply believed by the simplest of children. The doctrine of the Trinity is not just something that teachers or pastors and theologians discuss in their classrooms or in their seminaries, but it's a very practical truth. A very practical truth that God revealed to us in His Word that is necessary for us to believe in order to be saved. And what a wonderful truth it is. Our God wants to be known. And He wants to be made known to all the world as He has revealed Himself to us in His Word. And He's revealed Himself to us as triune, three in one. In our text this morning, Jesus tells us that what belongs to the Father also belongs to Him. And then He says that the Spirit will take what belongs to Him and make it known to all the world. So what is this that Jesus says is Mine, but also is shared with the Father and the Holy Spirit? Well, the answer is found in our theme this morning. It's our salvation. Our theme this morning is our salvation, a work of the triune God. The Lord Jesus is speaking about God's entire plan and work of our salvation. He shows to us that our plan of salvation, our entire work of salvation, has been carried out by all three persons of the Godhead. And our first point is this. Our salvation is decreed by the Father who loved us from eternity. God's incredible, infinite love for mankind is seen very simply in that gospel in a sentence, probably the most well-known gospel passage of all, John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, in His Son Jesus, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Already in eternity, God the Father planned our salvation. Because already in eternity, He knew that Adam and Eve would fall into sin. Already in eternity, He knew that there would be none who would do good. No, not one. Already in eternity, He knew that all of our righteousnesses before Him would be like filthy rags. Already in eternity, He knew that we would all sin and fall short of His divine glory, and that our sins and thought would indeed would bring upon ourselves a deserved damnation. Already in eternity, He knew that mankind would deserve to be punished eternally because they would be conceived and born dead in sin. But His boundless love for us, His creatures, that He made in His own image, meaning perfect like God, and with perfect knowledge of God, even before time began, His immense love for us caused Him to plan our salvation so that both His justice and His love would be satisfied. for there could be no other way. Peter, in his sermon on Pentecost, proclaimed that Jesus was delivered over to the hands of his enemies into death by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. Paul says in his letter to Titus that God promised eternal life before time began, already before creation. And what a comfort that is in knowing that our salvation is not just some chance happening, some lucky break, some fortuitous right bounces in our life, or fate. It is something that God already preordained and foreordained that we would be redeemed by His Son. But this, our salvation, doesn't just belong to the Father. It also belongs to the Son. In our text, Jesus says, "All things that the Father has are mine." Eternal life and salvation are not the exclusive property of the Father. For our salvation that was decreed by the Father in eternity and proclaimed to us throughout all the Old Testament prophets is fulfilled, as we read in our second point this morning. It's accomplished by the Son, who redeemed us with His shed blood. Even as Christmas really is the time we thank God the Father for the gift of His Son to us, being born of the Virgin Mary, so also Good Friday and Easter is the gift of the Son, of His life, of His perfect life, His sacrifice, His death, His victorious resurrection from the grave. The whole life of Christ can be summed up in three words: He for us. Jesus came into this world for us. He took upon Himself human flesh and blood for us. He lived a perfect obedient life under the cross, under the law for us. He paid for our sins on the cross for us. He rose victoriously from the grave for us. Through all these actions, the Apostle Paul says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting our trespasses against us. God is love, and therefore Jesus Christ is love. God is life, and therefore Jesus Christ is life. And we see these two truths so beautifully in two passages of Scripture. In Ephesians 5, when Paul is expressing the relationship between husbands and wives, he says this: "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her." Christ's love for us is perfect. It is infinite. His love for us led Him to give His own life and be damned for you and for me. But Christ is also life. Christ says to us in John 11, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And again, Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Everything that God the Father has and is, God the Son Jesus has and is. But all of this, God the Father's declaration, already in eternity, of our salvation, and the sending of His Son, and Jesus' accomplishing all that He did for us, would be absolutely worthless had the Father and the Son not sent the Holy Spirit into this world. And that's the third part to our sermon this morning. Our salvation is decreed by the Father, accomplished by the Son, but made known to us by the Holy Spirit, who guides us into all truth by the gospel. Even as Jesus' birth that we celebrated at Christmas was a gift of God the Father to us, and even as Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection on Good Friday and Easter was a gift of God the Son to us, so also taking that message of salvation and working faith in our hearts is the gift of the Holy Spirit to us. Gift. 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 Our salvation is entirely a gift of God's grace. What does the Apostle Paul say? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The Holy Spirit's work in our hearts is absolutely essential because we're told no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Paul writes in his first epistle to the Corinthians, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit." It's the Holy Spirit that testifies to us that we are indeed God's children through faith in Christ Jesus. He lives in us so that we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit creates faith in our hearts, Jesus lives in us. And so even as a Father has in His life, and even as a Son has in His life, so the Holy Spirit has and is life. Jesus says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing." So the Holy Spirit's testimony of the Word, Jesus says, He glorifies both the Father and He glorifies the Son. Jesus says in our text, "He will glorify me, for He will take what is of mine and declare it to you." The salvation of mankind that the Father decreed and the Son carried out is proclaimed by the Holy Spirit to all the world to glorify the Father and glorify Jesus Christ. Therefore, all that belongs to Jesus, His work, His teachings, His person, His redemption, in fact, everything that the Bible says about Him has been revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus said to His disciples just before He ascended to heaven that He would send them the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, who would reveal all things to them. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit did for the next 50 to 60 years after Jesus' ascension to heaven, as He inspired some of those disciples, some of those apostles, to write the books, the letters of the New Testament. The doctrine of the Trinity is not just something to be taught and something to be believed. It is something to be praised and something to be glorified. It's not just some dry dissertation of some incomprehensible facts. It's a very practical truth. It is a very essential truth that we need to believe in order to be saved. In order to be saved, we must believe in the Trinity of God. There is God the Father, who not only created us, but already in eternity decreed our salvation and sent His Son to be our Savior. And there is God the Son, who loved us so much that He became one with us, lived a perfect life of obedient love, was sacrificed upon the cross and shed His blood for us, and rose victoriously from the grave. And there's God the Holy Spirit, who takes that message of salvation and creates faith in our hearts. It's indeed very appropriate that on this Trinity Sunday, we raise our hearts and voices to the triune God of our salvation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in thanksgiving and praise of the God who loved us and saved us lost and condemned creatures. Hallelujah. Praise our triune God. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.